something that you guys came for. I can feel it. I can feel it. My God. You didn't just come in just because you wanted, it's church, I got to go through the service and have church now. But I know that when you come in with anticipation, you have an expectation for His expectancy to fulfill what's in your heart. I know that there's something that you came for that God wants to reveal His heart to you. My. We are in a good place. In a good place. I believe that eyes are about to be open. Our hearts are about to be pricked. And our spirits about to be awakened. Whatever has caused all kinds of confusion and chaos in your life, I'm here to tell you that God is about to put order into your life. Says the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. Every step that you've walked out, every step that you have placed, He has ordered for you. Does not mean it's going to feel good every step of the way. You may feel like you're uncomfortable. You may feel like things just ain't going your way. But God has a plan. I thank God that He doesn't reveal all of it to me. Because some of His plans, if Joseph would have known he was about to be put into a pit, do you think he would have pursued? Do you think if Joseph knew his brothers were going to get jealous because of a dream, do you think he would have told the dream? Sometimes your persecution has to drive you to discover your destiny. Whether he would have seen the prison cells or even into the lower prison, do you think he would have pursued his destiny? No, I believe he would have said, this is enough, God, deuces, I'm out. Okay, let me get back. That's kind of street there. That's street. Lord. He would have checked out and said, no, Lord, this is not my will. But when God puts something on you, you may not have an understanding what it is, where you're going, or how you're about to obtain it. But along the way, you begin to discover that your destiny is driving you, keeping you, so that you can fulfill it. If sometimes that you feel that you can't, I want you to just look back behind you and look how far you've been. He's brought you to this point. He's not going to leave you here. If some of the things keep getting harder and harder because you're getting closer and closer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it that you guys can come in, and I know that we have some certain things that we put in place so that we can go through and do our tithes and offering, our creed. But I love it when you guys get up and no one has to tell you to go and hug your neighbor. We are hugging church in here. We are hugging, and if you don't like to be hugged, you're going to get hugged on even more. I find it very interesting. The ones that don't like to be hugged, everybody hugs them even more. Haven't you seen that? They're the ones like, oh, come. And it's like everybody sees that one person that doesn't want to be hugged, and everybody goes directly to them. Get over here. I love you. I love you. Then they leave like, what is going on in this place? I love it because what that is doing is showing His heart. That we are to love our neighbors. Regardless of your background. Regardless of what you're in, Jesus didn't come to judge the world. He came to love the world. And He embraced everyone He came in contact with, except the religious folks. Except the religious folks. Who did He rebuke the most? Religious folks. And from time to time, He had to get after His disciples, did He not? Namely, Peter. In one moment, Peter gets a revelation that he is the Son of God. And then Jesus tells him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my spirit, the Father in heaven, has revealed it to you. And Peter's like, yeah, I know this. Get behind me, Satan. Hold up. Wait, hey. You see, there's some things in our life. It depends on how our heart perceives, how our heart reacts, determines how the fruit is going to come forth. Hallelujah. Just nudge your neighbor. Just look, as old pastor's going there today. Just nudge your neighbor. Pastor's going there today. Oh, we're going to talk about your fruit. Look at your neighbor and say, is your fruit? Is your fruit good fruit? Or is it rotten fruit? Ooh-wee! Look at y'all looking at each other like, oh, Lord, what is it going to be like today? Get your Bibles if you would. We're in the house of the Lord. Before you leave here today, it's going to be the house of Lord. Lord. Oh, Lord. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 36. Patricia, if you would, we're going to read out of New American Standard Version, please. New American Standard Version. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 36. Patricia, when you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read, please.
Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you.
Oh, Lord.
And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Mm-hmm. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes.
Oh, wow, okay.
And you will be careful to observe my ordinances.
Say that again.
And you will be careful to observe my ordinances.
Say it again.
And you will be careful to observe my ordinances.
All right, continue on.
You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanliness and will call for the grain and multiply it. And I will not bring a famine on you.
Oh, hallelujah.
I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations.
Stop right there. Do you see that in verse 31? Everybody see it? Who would loathe? You yourself would loathe yourself for the sight of your own iniquities. What he's talking about in this particular scripture here is that you're going to put condemnation on yourself, not God. Not your brother, not your sister, but you. Because of the things that you have went through in your life, you'll have a tendency to look at yourself like you can't come out of it. So what he's saying, you will do that, not me. Continue on.
I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt.
All right.
The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by. They will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste desolate and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you that that word, oh God, that you speak into our soul, mind, and our spirit, oh God, begins to change the very actions in our life because we begin to change our heart. We begin to change our ways. We begin to change our mindset so that we put on the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and walk in the things of Christ. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. What I want to share with you today is that God wants to put in us a new heart. A new heart. When we got saved and we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, you first have acknowledged the fact that you needed a Savior. What do we need a Savior from? From ourselves. From the penalty of sin, which is death. Now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can be saved right now in the very seat that you're seated in, in the very actions that you've been living in the very sin that you have been bound in. You can be saved right now by acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's powerful. Can you wrap your mind around that on how, by saying a simple prayer, that your soul and your spirit will be eternally in his presence by saying one simple prayer. Have you stopped to think about that? You see, your natural mind doesn't understand the supernatural of God, which is faith. But if it was something that was natural, you could begin to process it, begin to look at it, because everything would add up in your natural mind. But in your supernatural mind, things just don't add up. Have you found yourself conflicted between the natural and the supernatural? It's because your natural mind keeps getting in the way. God wants to do something supernatural in the midst of his people to bring them out of bondage, to bring them out of their iniquities, to bring them out of what they have learned, how they've patterned themselves, and he wants to bring them all the way through. But our natural mind keeps us there, but the supernatural of God wants to move in and break every chain, every yoke. He wants to loose you from all of that that has kept you bound. But guess where it starts? Right here in your heart. In your heart. Where is your treasure kept? In your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. You want to know what's in someone's heart? Get them mad. Get them mad. You want to know if someone's jealous? Oh, Lord, I'm going to start already. Oh, okay. Let me get to a place where I can see some folks. I should be bringing in my glasses and so I can see your eyes. If you suffer from jealousy, you have within you rejection issues, self-esteem issues, or you're the one doing what you're saying others are doing to you. Or are you hearing me? I stepped away from the pulpit for a reason. I'm going to talk to you with real talk. Real talk. If you ever come across someone that is jealous, they have insecurity issues. How do you know they're insecure? Because they're the ones that don't shut up. They've got to be heard. They want you to listen to what they have to say. Have you ever run into someone that because you're telling them a situation that has taken place in your life that they have something similar and that they want to tell you that it's happened to them? Oh yeah, I was there. I didn't go to Italy like you, but I was in Houston. That don't even add up. Just hush. You just want to be heard. Insecurities make people begin to speak. See, what's in our heart, we begin to speak out. And I believe this is what God is saying in this hour, very prophetically, that God is getting ready to renew the heart of the church. But because we're so caught up in a learned behavior, we continue to do things habitually, thinking things are going to change. We are a church that begin to move about doing the same thing over and over, thinking we're going to get a new result. But yet we're telling the world that they're insane, and we're doing the same thing. By definition, we're insane. We think that the world is going to change just because we're in church. How many of you said this before you got saved? Because I know some of y'all in here weren't saved your whole life. No, only one with my hand up? Okay. When they told you you need to go to church, what was your response? Don't say it. Some of y'all colorful in language. But mine was, I'll go when I get my life together. Or I have my own relationship with God. But the reality is, God said, no, that's when I need you here in the house of God. When you're a mess. When you got things going chaotic in your life, I need you in the house of God. Because what I'm going to do in that atmosphere, the corporate anointing, I'm going to begin to deal with some issues in your life. And I'm going to begin to have someone speak into your life that will begin to make transformation in your life. But it starts with your heart, because I need your heart first. So he's going to remove the heart of stone. Stone. Have you ever run across someone that just has that heart of stone? Yeah, they don't even greet you right. You can walk up to them with them. Hey, how you doing? Oh. Okay. Whoa. Never mind. And you kind of like tiptoe around because you know they're about to go off on you. Or when you say, oh, isn't God good? What is so good about God? What's so good about today? Don't you at times just want to say, well, aren't you breathing right now? You're not in a wheelchair. You ain't hooked up to monitors for your heart. I mean, we get to the point where we just walk around because I'm bitter because you don't know what happened to me at work today. Praise God, you got a job. You got a paycheck coming in. Oh, but I always got Uncle Sam taking out too much money. Have you given God his? Oh, I've been there already. Where your heart is where your treasure is. I've walked into some folks in people's lives and I begin to talk to them and I said, Lord, no wonder why you got me as an introvert right now. I don't want to talk to folks because they're the ones just looking at you like, you think you're all that because you got yourself a church. You're the one taking all the tithes and the offering for yourself. You don't know me. I came from street. And I recognize that my spirit is kind of like Peter. I don't have a sword. It's too big to carry. But I do got me a blade. Say it one more again. You see, we have a tendency to want to respond the way we were conditioned to respond. But that's not how you would respond if you were the one just walking around with a new heart. The heart of God. Can you imagine what Jesus was going through? I've come to set the captives free. To open up the deaf ears and the blind eyes. The lame are going to walk. The dead are going to rise. And they're looking at him. You're just the son of a carpenter. Who are you? Who you think you is? Have you ever seen how people want to judge you from your past? But they don't want to see the fruit that is being developed in you now. They want to judge you of the fruit that fell back years ago. But what if we're the ones, the church, doing the same thing amongst the church folk? Ow. Oh, Sister So-and-so been in this mess for a long time. That's why she's going, and she wants her Boaz. She hadn't even got things right. She got things together. And what about you, Miss Salty Sister, you? Coming in here judging everybody else. And this is going on in the house of God. And the devil said, I ain't got to mess with the church. The church is already messing itself up. So then the world people want to come in that need to get a touch from God. And they come in and see all the bickering, all the division, all the craziness and the silliness going on in the church. They said, this happening in the club. I could just go to the club and get my dance on, get my drink on and be good. And if I don't like you, I don't have to worry about offending you. I tell you, I don't like you. But we step into the church. Lord Jesus, let me get amongst these folks now. Heaven forbid if I say something to you, Miss Veronica, and tell you that I don't like the way you've been acting up in here. If I come next to you, Tamika, and Tamika, you know what? You got you look at her. She right looking at me sideways. Everybody, like, Pastor, you better get back up on that stage over there because you. I saw you go. I felt that spirit right there. You see, Veronica said, I saw it too. But what happens is if we're afraid to tell someone truth, then how is the church going to be the light in the dark world out there if we can't speak truth? Oh, you ain't supposed to be talking like that. I'm not judging you. Do you want to get help? Do you want to get set free? Do you want to get loose from all these things that have had you bound? Oh, do I'm. Sylvia, I'm going to go right there. Right. I'm just going to go. Can I? Okay, I'm going to go. I don't have a sword, but I do got something right here. Some of y'all get a little crazy than me. It's all good. Look, there is more divorce in the church. There's more drug use in the church. Oh, my God, there's the nerve. There's that spirit now. There is more fornication in the church than there is in the world. We got more people trying to hook up in church for a one-night stand. Oh, because I need me a godly woman. I need me a godly man. What about your heart first? I ain't talking. Y'all are the angels in here. Y'all are angels in here. I didn't say you were the good angels. I said y'all are angels. I'm just playing. But look, we need to be a church of influence, do we not? I gotta put this up because there's some folks I need to just play, y'all. Just calm down. But we need to be an influence to those that are looking for a Savior. What do they need to be saved from? From themselves. Oh, but the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. Unless your first name is devil. How many of you have heard that like that, where the devil made me do it? No, your heart was already inclined to do evil things. You were influenced to do it not by an outside influence, by what was internally going on in your heart. When we begin to respond the way we respond, it's amazing how we have a tendency to look just like the world, but we're supposed to be the church. Where is the standard? And I believe this is what the Lord was speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. He was saying that I need to put on you a heart of flesh, not your flesh, his flesh. Thursday night, I read this when I heard it in the spirit during our soaking. I said, Lord, there's more to this. And I know that you want to give us something of a new heart. It's a new disposition. It's excellent in itself, the new heart. And it's vastly different from before. That's a new heart. He's going to give you a new disposition of your mind. It's excellent in itself and vastly different from before. That's his heart. Your soul is changed from sinful to holy, from carnal to spiritual, when you put on the heart of Christ. In Jeremiah 31:33, if you have it, you can turn there or just reference it. I believe that this is what the Lord is preparing for us to see, is that he has given us a fresh new heart. Patricia, if you have it, if you'd read it, please. What he has for us to do is to understand that he has made a covenant. A covenant. You have it, Jeremiah 31:33?
Amen.
Go ahead.
But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Okay, look here. What is he going to put in their heart? The law. Now, when he first gave the law of Moses, he wrote it on tablets. Did he not? Tablets of stone. What the law does, it weighs you down. Don't get it twisted now. Some of y'all are like, ooh, here comes my license to sin. Y'all been doing it already. He wrote the Ten Commandments on stone. When we begin to walk after the things of the law, we begin to weigh ourselves down through condemnation and through guilt and through subjecting ourselves to be a judge. So what God wants to do, he wants to give us a new law, a new covenant that is not written on stone, but written on our hearts. And when he writes it within our heart, what he wants to do is begin to change our former way so that we can begin to see that there is a new covenant. There is a covenant that is made between you and Christ that he does not negate. He will not negotiate. He will give all of his benefits to you because he's given the law of his covenant to you. Are you understanding this? It's a contract. But contracts can be broken. Who's going to break it? God or you? We are. Why? Because if we don't deal with our fleshly heart, our stony heart, we'll begin to reject his new covenant. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to look at this covenant saying, I've got something greater for you. You have just had these learned behaviors growing up. Maybe you didn't understand these learned behaviors were going to keep you bound. Maybe you didn't understand by watching mommy and daddy start carrying on the way they've been carrying on that you would be doing the same thing in your marriage. Have you ever had a child watch you? All they're going to do is watch you one time. And they're going to do exactly what you did. Have a child see the way you react to a female. That young man or that young girl is going to be expecting that every time. What we do in our actions and what we do in our words will begin to raise a generation based on that. If you weren't shown respect in your home, you will have a bunch of misfits disrespecting other people and even their loved ones. Because there's no respect in the home. What if there is no time that is spent, mother and daughter, mother and son? What if no time is spent understanding what love is and what the role of a mother is, what the role of a father is? What is going to happen to that child? The child is going to begin to develop those same attributes that was passed on. And it's a learned behavior. And we've been trying to bind everything. But what we don't do is change our ways. You can bind every devil that you want. But if the devil ain't there, what you binding? Nothing. And you're going to see the same fruit all the time. I talked about this earlier and I really sense this. There's a lot of jealousy within couples, relationships, marriages. If you have trust issues, it'll continue on. It will continue on. Whether you've been done wrong or you're the one that's doing wrong. And if you don't know how to truly love the agape love unconditionally, you're not going to receive it as well. So God is saying to the prophet that I've got to give you my heart. My people are going to be my people. And I'm going to give them the land that their forefathers that I've given unto them. I'm going to give them that promise. And they're going to live in it. But they're not going to understand how all these things that I'm doing to rebuild them, they're not going to understand it's me doing it on my behalf for them. Did y'all get that? Because in truth, do we really deserve some of the stuff we're going to get from God? Some of y'all looking at me like, look, Pastor, I've been fasting a long time. Praying. Shondas and the Hondas. I'm going to leave those Hondas alone. I always say the Shonda Hondas. You got a Honda? Amen. That's good for you. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about the Shabba Dabba Doo. Shabba Dabba Doo like Scooby Doo. Watch this. See, we have a tendency to go through the motions of being so spiritual and being so elite that we don't think that we have mess. I got this last night when I was changing the kitty litter. I got my cat, my demon cat. Some of y'all don't know my cat, but I got a demon cat. Nobody can be around my cat but me. Because I got that control, girl. Demons bow down. And we had this one. Just follow me for a little bit. I'm going to show you this. I don't even know where I'm at right now, but just follow me. I had to change the litter box because this litter box didn't have the cover. It was just the little sides, and we'd have all this stuff all over the restroom. And I was like, Lord, this is bad. Then my wife, she walks around, she's like, ew, it's just nasty. Cats are nasty. See, before we didn't have to worry about that. Our cat was like a dog. It was just, confused. She's confused. I'd let her out like a dog. She'd go outside, do her business, come in. And I could walk her like a dog, too. She'll bark like a dog. Michael, am I telling the truth, Michael? My son knows. He'll go and play with her and fuss with her. But see, that demon doesn't bow to him. It bows to me. He gets attacked by this cat. So this cat just a little confused. The leader's supposed to stay in the box, not out the box. Now, I had to change the litter into a new box that had a cover over it, had a door to keep everything contained. I don't know how this demon did it, but this demon knocked down that door and said, I don't need no door to hold me back. Took the door off. But then I was looking at this thing. I said, it makes it harder for me to get rid of the mess that's only been covered up. When you look at it, it looks like everything's fine, but it's enclosed and encapsulated and covered over. And there's a nice scent that's supposed to mask the mess. See, what we've done for so long is we've been covering up our mess. We've been putting things to make it smell better. We've been hiding our mess, but we never want to get rid of the mess. I told you I was going somewhere. I don't care whether it clumps up and you can get it out, but if you don't activate it to get it out, it's just going to stay there and it begins to gather more mess. Are you hearing me? I don't care if you put up those, what is that little Febreze spray? All you're doing is just masking the odor. And then when you combine the two, Lord Jesus, that don't smell good no more. But we always want to mask things. We want to cover things. A Band-Aid doesn't make you heal. My God. It's what you do in the process to get rid of the bacteria in it that begins the healing process. The Band-Aid is only there to protect it, but it doesn't heal it. But if you leave the Band-Aid on too long, it will make it become more infected. And we've gone through a season of our life. For some of us, it's been seasons, and that we don't make change, and that we become so infected that there's so much of the nastiness coming out. I don't need to change. I am right in my mind, and I'm clothed in righteousness. And you're bitter as a snake. Don't want to be around anybody. Don't trust nobody. Don't love nobody but yourself. I don't need nobody but me, myself, and I. Well, all three of y'all can go someplace. Y'all need to find out what God really wants to do in your life to get rid of the mess. Sometimes you got to take the lid off to get down deep in there. And sometimes it's so deep, you got to look at that thing and say, ain't nothing there. God says, oh, hold up a second. I'm going to send some persecution your way. There's going to shake some stuff. And you're going to say, oh, there it is. My God, I didn't know it was there. You did all along. You just got so comfortable around it that you operate in the same mess all the time, but you never want to deal with it. Now, I was just talking about my kid littering my cat. It was the deep revelation right there. It's a deep revelation. It was real deep. It was real deep. So deep, I need another thing of kitty litter because that pan is so deep. I said, God, I don't know. That means there's going to be more junk in there. There's going to be more mess in there. I don't need things to be deeper. Watch this, it's going to rock you. I don't need to get deeper in the word. I need it to be so that I can understand the word, do the word, work the word, and begin to get delivered with the word. Instead of just trying, I need deep revelation. Pastor, you ain't bringing me revelation. I feel like I'm dying because I don't get revelation. What you doing with the last word he gave you? Are you putting it to use? Oh, but I got a gift. I got one too. It's called discernment. And I discern the gift that you really want to use isn't your gift. It's your rejection that wants to utilize something that wasn't for you. Y'all missed that one. Let's just start now because these demons started to... They're like, ooh, I don't like what Pastor's talking about. Now I got lost. Where was I? You're sitting in the front row. You're going to participate. Oh, yeah. Okay, the gift. You know what rejection will make you do? Will make you imitate somebody else's gift and say that it's your gift that if you operate better than them because you're more anointed than them. Guess what you just did? You stepped into a role that wasn't your role. You need to understand that the gifts are there so that just building and advancing the kingdom of God. Your gift isn't my gift. My gift isn't your gift. Which gift is greater? None. Well, Pastor, you can raise the dead. Okay, so can you. Well, Pastor, you prophesy. So can you. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. So can you. Well, you cast demons out. So can you. Do you understand that we obtain all the gifts of the kingdom of God when we accepted all of Jesus in our heart? We didn't get a junior kingdom like a junior Whataburger instead of the full Whataburger. You got the full kingdom of God inside you with all the trimmings, all the works. It's all yours. But if you don't know how to utilize it because you've been covering up stuff in your heart, God's saying, I want to work through you. I'm not looking for a perfect vessel. I'm looking for a willing vessel. And if you're willing, I will begin to move in that life. And then I'll move out the stuff that is deep. And I begin to uproot it so that it won't be there no more. But before I do that, I've got to work on your heart. When I work on your heart, then out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And guess what you're going to be speaking? His word, not your emotions. And then when you see that somebody is flowing in their gift, you're no longer jealous, offended. Well, I've been here 6 years with you, Pastor, but you ain't using me like you're using them. I think I don't know. We got some folks, their feathers get ruffled real quick. Real quick. Not y'all. Felt that dagger to them. They were like, what God really wants to do is to get in there and begin to extract what he didn't put in. Are you hearing me? I didn't, you understand my way of thinking? I didn't put that poop in that litter box. How come I'm the one that got to dig it out? Guess what my wife's going to tell me? You wanted the cat, didn't you? You got a responsibility. My mom looked at me like, yeah, every time you came home, son, you always brought another animal with you. And all you would do is play with it and make me feed it, make me bathe it, and make me clean up after. And you never did one thing. But you promised that you were going to take care of that dog. You have not bathed it. You haven't walked it. All you do is play with it. And that's okay. Go to mama. Go get fed. How many times have we done that with God? God, bless me. And if you bless me, God, I will build a big sanctuary for Pastor Marty. I'm praying that for you, whoever you are. See that one? You're in here. I feel you. All right, look. But you have a responsibility to take care of yourself after the things of God. You're not always going to get everything up. But if he begins to reveal to you, guess what will happen? You've got to look at that thing and say, you know what? The old law says that I would be judged by it. But my new covenant that is with you says, I am able to do. I'm able to do greater. Greater because you're my God. My covenant means that I'm with you all the days of your life. And when you can't figure it out and you don't have an understanding, I'm going to be right there to help you. For my spirit, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and reveal to you all things that are hidden. And whatever is beneath the surface, I will bring it to the top. But you got to get rid of it yourself. if you are upset and you're mad and you walk around with bitterness and hatred and anger, you have got to let that past go. Let go of all the things that keep you bound so that you can't go forward. But I don't know what it is, Pastor. Let God reveal by His Spirit. His Spirit is light that reveals to you. And as He reveals to you, we have a responsibility to get rid of it. Change a way of thinking. When I became a man, I put away childish things. When I was a child, I act like a child. I think I'm still a child. I'm still acting like one. But I keep asking God, I don't need revelation, God. I don't need so much deep revelation that it's no earthly good here. I need more of you in me to show me how to get rid of me and put on more of you. Are you hearing me? Woo! Yeah. I ain't him up. I ain't him up. That sounds good. There you go. There you go. There you go. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's a new heart. There's a new heart that He's given us. It requires us to get rid of all our soul ties, where our mind, our will, and our emotions are wrapped up with somebody else's soul, somebody else's spirit, somebody else's affection that keeps us from moving forward. We are bound by a spirit that has got us so connected and intertwined with somebody else's soul. You've been bedding down with other people, wondering why you're dealing with this mess in your life. Break the soul tie now in Jesus' mighty name. You are not somebody else's puppet. You are not somebody else's property. You are God's property. You are God's. You've been bought by the precious blood. And no spirit in hell, no spirit or demon is going to come and take you away. I bind every soul tie right now in the name of Jesus. The soul ties from drugs and alcohol. The soul ties from a learned behavior and a pattern that kept you from enjoying relationships that are godly in your life. Woo! I'm giving you a new heart. It's a heart of flesh. I took off heart of flesh, but gave you a heart of flesh. What does that mean? He took your heart of flesh and removed it. Your old sinful ways, your old nature, He put on His nature in you. That's why when they say that, oh, we're just a sinner. No, you're not. You're a new creation in Him. You're being made perfect. You're not perfect. He's perfect in you. He put His spirit, His flesh, His heart inside of you. Why did He say flesh? Because of all the persecution, all the whipping and all the beating and all the lies and all the slander, all the spitting and all the prodding. He put that inside of you saying, you may not love your neighbor. You may not love your spouse like you're supposed to. But if you put on my heart that went through all this beating, all this transgression, you'll look over at your spouse and you may not understand, but I love you anyhow. You may be shooting me down with all these kind of words, but I love you anyhow. Well, how can you love a sinner like me? Because I was one too. And God saw me for the way I am, and He loved me. You see, what we need to understand is the love of God that is changing and transforming us. But if we don't want to love, and we don't want to put away our old ways, we're never going to experience the right way, His way. Jealousy will always come in to cause division. If you're around people that are constantly jealous because of your anointing, your gifting, and the favor that's on your life, help them by loving them through it. Some of y'all heard you. I heard you. Just because you love your enemy doesn't mean you've got to like your enemy. I love a lot of people, but I don't like that many. I'm going to tell you the truth. You don't have to have everybody in your inner circle. Your inner circle should be only a few anyhow. What is that old saying? Ride or die. We're ride or die. We're going to ride with you. We're going to die with you. But you start talking about dying, you got people say, hey, whoa, whoa, hey. I'll ride with you, but I ain't dying with you. See, Jonathan and his armor bearer were ride or die partners. What was that about? He said, if we go over to this hill, over this garrison to face these Philistines, and if they say, come on up, I know that God has given them into our hand. But if not, then we won't go. The unnamed armor bearer looked at him and said, do what is in your heart. Do what is in your heart, because I'm with you, heart and soul. What is he saying? Whether you heard from God or not, I'm still following after you. I got to trust God enough that what he's doing in my life, he's doing in your life, that I'm going to continue to walk, because I've been trained up, I've been raised up, I've been prepared for such a time as this. And if we go up against these uncircumcised Philistines, I'm about to take off some excess off of their life. May it be their head, may it be their heart, but I'm going to take some things out that have always been coming against me and trying to keep us from getting to the next mountaintop experience. Are you hearing what I say? Because the enemy has caused so much confusion in your life. Now God is causing confusion in the enemy's camp, that you will walk right up and take what's rightfully yours. And guess what he wants you to take? Freedom. Freedom. Yeah, at times he's going to send you money. He's going to send you some blessings. But he wants you to be loosed. He wants you set free. He wants every yoke that has got you oppressed to be broken, which reminds me of the prophet. Elijah goes to Elisha and he's got how many? 12 oxen? Huh? 12 oxen? Speaks of government. He says, follow me. That's cold. This is what he did. He took off his cloak and he threw it on him. If we were to do that to you, say, here, take it. You'd leave offended. Get offended. Pastor threw his jacket on me. That was wrong. He should have handed it to me. What if it was God saying, I'm going to see where your heart really is? It's not going to come in a way that you think it's going to be presented to you. It's going to come a little bit different. It's going to come at a different time in your life. It may not be the right time that you think. But I believe that what God is going to do, he's going to give you the opportunity to go and burn the yoke. Use it for fire, for the oxen, for a celebration from your old going into your new. Flesh has to be cut away. Something has to be consumed by fire that had you constricted, had you so that you couldn't grow. Some things needed to be burned off so that you could step into destiny. But it gives us the responsibility to do it. Will you burn it off? Will you get rid of it? Will you change the way that you've been thinking? Will you change the way you've been acting? Will you put on the heart of Christ? Say, I'm not going to respond this way, Lord, but I'm going to try real hard not to respond the other way either. I'm going to try real hard. And every time I get angry, I'm going to hold my tongue. I'm not going to respond based on the reactions. I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to help me, because I don't want to keep responding the same way. Before I ever got saved, before I ever came into the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ, yeah, I was a good friend, I was a good cousin, but the reality was I was a bad person. I had my own ways, my own heart, deal with things a certain way. I was a fighter. I would have loved to have said I was a lover, not a fighter, but I was a fighter. I would fight with anybody. Big, small, and if they outnumber me, it didn't matter. I would fight for those who couldn't fight. But finally, I said, God, I'm tired of fighting. And the biggest fight that I had to face was something that I couldn't fight. Is when my son drowned. And when he died, I couldn't fight this fight. I didn't know how I was going to win this fight. The only thing I could do was surrender to God and say, if you let me see him and he sees me, then you can have him. But if you give him back to me, oh, you got me for life. I will serve you all the days of my life. at that very moment in time, not only was my mind renewed, I was transformed. My wife didn't recognize me. She didn't understand my speech. She didn't understand how are you praying for people and what is coming out of your mouth. Because that wasn't my lifestyle. But you see, when you let God get in there, He begins to do a miracle working work inside of your heart, inside of your mind, in your spirit, in your soul. That whatever was intertwined with your soul has now been removed. You may have been rejected by mom and dad, but God says, I'm here to accept you the way you are. You may not understand what love is, but I'm here to accept you just the way you are. I'm here to show you the love that I really have for you. And you don't have to do anything. I just love you just the way you are. You may not understand what you're going through, but I love you just the way you are. I know you were deep in the witchcraft, but I was there with you to keep you safe so that your life wouldn't be taken away. I know that you have been battered. I know you have been bruised. I know that you are going through all kinds of issues in your life. Drugs and alcohol trying to take you out. But I came in and I waited for you right there. There was a hand that was extended to you. But every time that you wouldn't reach for it, I just kept getting closer to you. I kept coming closer because it is my heart that I want you to experience. It is my love that draws all men into salvation. It is my love that will draw people into repentance to change their way. It is my love that comes to bring you closer to me. It is my love that says you can do nothing to cancel my love for you. I love you the way you are. Woo! That's a new heart. That's a new heart. When we can do that to our brothers and our sisters, that when they walk into a church, they can say, the presence of the Lord is in the house. How do you know? I feel His love. I feel His love. The heart of the ministry beats with His heartbeat. The leaders and the people, their heart beats with His. Their spirit is intertwined with the Spirit of God. And they don't look at me and judge me. They look at me and love me. When you can get a church that begins to love people just the way they are, you can begin to change a person's life just with a simple hug. And a simple, I love you and mean it. Believe without a shadow of a doubt that we're about to experience more of His reign. His latter reign was going to be greater. The glory of the former house. The glory of the latter house will be greater than that former house. We can't rely on the old. We have to look at the new. Embrace the new. Reminds me when I first bought these boots right here. Some of y'all have ever bought cowboy boots before? When you first get them, they slip up and down on the heel a little bit. They can irritate your heel. You can get blisters. But you got to keep on working them in. So that this way, they begin to form your feet. And once they're broken in, Lord, there ain't no shoes that are going to make them feel as good as those boots. We're being broken in to make them. His spirit is looking and saying, I'm just going to form you and fit you. I'm going to embrace you and love you. I'm going to wrap my loving arms all around you. And what the enemy meant for evil, I'm going to turn for your good. You're going to experience more of me like never before. I'm going to love you through everything that you have gone through, everything that you're going through, because that's how much I love you. We're going to be broken in. And it's going to feel good, but not at first. We'll get upset and get mad because it's irritating. It's challenging. Been here before, God, but you didn't let it work itself in. He wants to embrace us so we could become one with Him. and not fight against him. Not rebel against him, but to love on him as he loves on us. And then, Josh, what he does, he just wraps his loving arms around us. It's like we fit. If we've been broken in to just fit that very mold. But it's in the broken process that the very thing that was rigid and hard becomes soft and pliable. He says, I'm going to do everything to make you more like me. That's the loving God that we serve. But if we don't put his heart on and we just leave our heart and after our own desires, we miss it, Caleb. We do. We miss it. But if we pursue him, Cherie, and let him work on our heart, work on our mind, my God, would we be a better people? Even get some half of what I wanted to share. But I feel the anointing of his presence. If you know that God has been pricking at your heart to make change in the ways that you respond, the way you act, or the way you even process things of pain, I want you to stand to your feet. Total surrendering unto him. Lord, give me a new heart, a clean heart, a fresh heart. Search me, O Lord. Search me. And whatever you find deep down inside of me, God, I ask you that you reveal it to me now so that I can remove it, O God. Get rid of that, the mess that has been covered up, the mess that has been hidden. The things that keep me from embracing you even more and more. I desire more of you. I desire things of the Spirit of God. But I ask you, O God, to give me the heart of Christ and the mind of Christ, so that I can begin to look at people through the eyes of Jesus, through the heart of Jesus, not to condemn or to judge, but to love and embrace, O God, so that we can advance the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which is here at hand, that we can advance it forward with your love, O God, not through the knowledge, Lord, not through the knowledge of the word, but through the impartation of your Spirit, because you have written your laws with the finger of God upon our heart. Lord, let it not be stone, let it be a flesh. Let it be made pliable to do the things that you called us to do. Help me, O God. Search me, O Lord. That whatever is there that grieves you, that begins to make you see that we're not right in your eyes, God. Show us and reveal to us so that we can walk out our deliverance with you, God. It doesn't separate us from you. It draws us closer to you. So we thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name.